The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 62, given by His Grace Sriman Samkarshanda Sathikari, recorded on January 16th, 2007, in Taveyuni, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 62. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata tat prasadam param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O scion of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. How would we do the translation? Should I read one phrase at a time right now? Okay. A living entity should therefore surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is situated in everyone's heart. And that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature. Rig Veda
122.20
as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Since all the creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramampadam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvashyataham Sridhisannavishta. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation that one should surrender under the super soul sitting within means that one should surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities. not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities. Like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamhayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, this material world is always a troublesome place. No matter how nicely we may make arrangements for ourselves here, we still have to suffer in so many ways. We suffer from miseries of the mind and the body. We suffer from miseries caused by other living beings. And we suffer miseries caused by natural disasters. We are forced to suffer these miseries as long as we continue to identify ourselves with these material bodies. To get free from the identification with the material body and to thus become free from all forms of misery requires the help of the bona fide spiritual master. He teaches us who we actually are. You cannot become identity-less. That is an artificial position. So, if you want to get free from the material identity, which is the cause of so many pains and sufferings, you have to have a spiritual identity. You have to have a spiritual awakening. You have to realize your spiritual identity. As long as you are thinking that you are male or female, Indian or Fijian or American, you will never be happy, because this material body is simply a place of misery. That's it. If you want true happiness, then you must awaken the dormant, enlightened consciousness which is there within you right now. Just like a match has fire within it, and by striking, the fire comes out. If you will chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then you will have a complete awakening of your spiritual nature. So there is a worldwide movement, Hare Krishna movement. It is a very big movement. It is offering everyone in the whole world the opportunity to become free of all forms of suffering.
So,
So we would like to offer you this evening the opportunity to take advantage of this Hare Krishna movement. How many of you are already participating on a regular basis in the activities of the Hare Krishna movement? Raise your hands. All right, well, that's everyone. Oh, there's one guest. Are you new? Are you new to the Hare Krishna movement?
He's a taxi driver.
Huh?
He's a taxi driver who brought us.
Oh, is the taxi driver who brought... No, the one behind him. The one sitting behind him. So, we would like to encourage you to participate regularly in our activities. Because this is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as the perfection of religion. There are so many different types of religious activities going on here in Tavayuni. Muslim religion. Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons. The Catholics. Methodists. You see. But according to Bhagavatam, any religion which does not teach one to become completely free from all sin and develop pure love for God, that religion is called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Anyone can become a purely religious person, a true lover of God. It does not matter what is their religious path. But they have to give up their sin. And they have to become fully absorbed in love of God. You want actually to have become saintly, actually, that is required. So we see in the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, the temples, frankly, all over the world, people are going on with their sinful activities. And they are simply thinking that by belonging to some religious organization, that they become saved. Do you think religion is such a cheap thing? You can simply put on a little badge and you become saved by saying, I belong to this organization? No. That's cheating. If one is actually going to become qualified to go back to the kingdom of God, there must be a change of heart in that person. He must become more inclined to hearing and chanting the glories of God than he is to any form of material sense gratification. So this is what we are teaching our members in the Hare Krishna movement. How to become 24 hours a day absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of God. And we are seeing this approach that is coming from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is most potent. It's most powerful. And it is most successful also. for bringing one out of all forms of suffering conditions of life. Bringing one to the transcendental position, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So we hope that you can understand and appreciate the great significance of this Hare Krishna movement. And you will begin now to regularly participate in our activities. Because once you actually experience what is Krishna consciousness, you will understand that there is nothing like Krishna consciousness in the whole world. It is the most wonderful thing. There is nothing else that comes even close to Krishna consciousness. You can't grasp it intellectually, you have to experience it. Of course, we have full philosophy to give complete intellectual understanding. But if you only want to intellectualize about it and you don't actually want to practice it, then you'll never fully experience it. This is why we ask everyone that you kindly chant with us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting the holy names of God, one's consciousness is uplifted beyond this material nature. One's consciousness enters into the spiritual world. Where life is eternal. Full of nectar. And full of cognizance. So, so we hope you will take seriously our invitation. And make your life perfect. The Hare Krishna movement is a worldwide loving family. In the Fiji Islands, we have many centers. We have Suva, we have Singatoka, we have Lotoka, we have Reiki, we have Mombasa, we have here in Tavayuni. There are many activities going on in various parts of Fiji. We're in New Zealand, we're in Australia, we're in Malaysia, we're in practically every country, we're in Russia, all over Russia, we're everywhere, we're all throughout the world. We're in Finland, we're in Estonia, we're in Latvia, we're in Germany, we're in the UK, we're everywhere. Mexico, Peru, everywhere, hundreds of countries. So we hope that you will take it very seriously and become a regular participant in our movement. If you do so, you will be glad that you did. Because Krishna consciousness means real happiness. In this material world, everyone is looking for happiness. But you know what is the true definition of happiness? Do you know what is the true definition of happiness? Who knows the true definition of happiness besides Vishnu Priya Manasya? Who knows the true definition of happiness?
Chanting the holy name of the Lord, he says.
Why? Why is that true happiness? He doesn't know. Who just knows?
Do what Krishna wants.
Why? Why though? Why does that choose true happiness?
Please Krishna.
Please Krishna? You're getting close.
Something that doesn't have end.
That's right. This is what Prabhupada explains. True happiness means without any end. That's by chanting the holy name and by doing what Krishna wants is true happiness. Because you can go on chanting the holy names in any condition. You can go on serving Krishna in any condition. That's why they are true happiness, because it can give you happiness which never ends. So this is the formula. If you want to have happiness which never ends, you must not base your happiness on this material body. Why is that? Because this material body comes to an end. If you base your happiness on your material body, then it is guaranteed that you will be disappointed. Even if you become the richest, most powerful man in the whole world, you will still get sick. You will still get old. And you will still die. So why should you base your happiness on some temporary platform? When you build your house here in Tabayuni, will you build it without a solid foundation? If you build your house without a solid foundation, what will happen? It may just go sinking into the mud, right? What will happen? If someone builds a house here without a solid foundation, what will happen? It will fall over, what will happen? What will happen? If someone in Tabayuni builds a house without a solid foundation, what will be the result?
It will collapse,
that's right. So, why would you build your happiness without a solid foundation? If you try to build your happiness on something which is not solid, then it will collapse. Just like a house in Tabayuni will collapse without a solid foundation. So what is the solid foundation? Is it that material body? That material body can be finished at any minute. Is it your truck? Your four-wheel drive truck? That can go off the cliff. You may have some accident and go off the cliff into the ocean with your truck. You may have a crash and ruin your truck, you see. So if you base your happiness on anything within this material world, you cannot be truly happy. Because you will always have that anxiety that this can be taken away from me. So therefore you have to find something which can never be taken away. And you have to base your happiness on that thing. That is your loving relationship with God. If we simply base it well on my wife or my husband, they can die today or tomorrow. You see, you can't base it on your family members. They can be gone at any time. But your relationship with God, that can never be taken away. You must base your happiness on your relationship with God. And then it can never be taken away. What is that Hindi word, pakka? Very, very solid, huh? Very solid, pakka. So you have to have pakka happiness. Pakka sukha. Krishna bhakti, pakka sukha. I'm learning a little Hindi, I guess. Not much. So in this way, please take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. Don't waste your life running after a mirage in the desert. Bodily happiness. Focus your life on achieving a loving relationship with God, with Krishna. That will satisfy you unlimitedly. So, I appreciate very much your nice hearing. Does anyone have any questions? I can warn you, I have a policy that if you don't ask questions, that I will ask you questions. I will pick one of you and I will interrogate you in front of everyone. It's much easier to be the one who asks the question than it is to be the one who is asked the question. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, my wife and I, we have arrived here in Fiji from Europe, which is very far from here. And partly because we don't like living there. There is a cold winter, and there, here in Fiji there is a nice sunny weather, nice friendly people. We like staying here. We've been here for 2 weeks and it's wonderful. But on the at the same time, I have talked to some pigeons, and they say, well, no, we don't like living here. We would love to work something abroad, Australia or Western countries. And it's obvious that both we are wrong and pigeons are wrong. But what to do with this? Why is it that we want to, like to live where we are born, and what to do with this tendency?
Yeah, sometimes we have seen in the cow field, in the cow pasture, there is one fence, you see. And the cow, on this side of the fence, he sticks his head on the other side through the fence to eat the grass on the other side. And the cow on this side, he is sticking his head through the fence to eat the grass on that side. They say the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You see, this is psychology. The real fact is that every place in this material world is a place of misery. You cannot escape them.
कोपा का हो या
गौर का हो वो पिंजरे से पीड़ा है, जब तक हम निकलेंगे नहीं इसमें सुख नहीं मिलेगा। तो हम कहीं सोच सकते कि ऐसा हो जाएगा तो सुख हो जाएगा, मगर सुख मिलेगा।
When you're visiting some place, Every place in this material world is like a used car. When you go to that place, you go to the used car lot, the salesman, he will say, oh, this is a very first class car, it was hardly driven at all, it's very cheap. But then when you buy that car and you start driving it, and everything starts going wrong with it.
So
the people in Fiji, they're thinking, if I can just get to Australia, then I'll be happy. The people in Australia, they're thinking, when can I go to Fiji so I can be happy? Nobody's happy. Sometimes when we're visiting a place, we can have a temporary sense of happiness while we are visiting. But once you move there and settle in there, then you realize again it's simply a miserable place. Ah brahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjana mam upechita konteya punar janma na vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world, down to the lowest, all our places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So whether you are in Tavayuni or Calcutta, it's hell. Every place is hell, actually. So one has to become sober by hearing from Shastra, by hearing from Guru Maharaj, by hearing from Vaishnavas. One has to become sober and realize there is no happiness anywhere in this material world. And the only happiness that can be found anywhere in the 14 worlds of this material existence is, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, we always chant these 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting these names in any condition of life, you will experience the topmost happiness, Susukam. So, are there any other questions? That was a very nice question. Thank you very much.
Just to add on that question, Maharaj, I want to explain my experience I had when I migrated to Canada. हम भी एक बार कनाडा माइग्रेट हुए 1997 कू के बाद मैं सोचा वहाँ बहुत आनंद रहेगा मैं छः महीने में फिर वापस आ गए फिर भी जितना आनंद है कहीं नहीं है छः महीने में यार हमारा permanent residence रहा हम लोग यार
what was it what happened
I went to Canada migrated
oh when you migrated
in 3 months I came back
yeah
it was minus 40 degrees then एकदम आइस भी बारिश आइस लेके भीतर हो गया हम लोग वहाँ जाना जाते हैं हमारा फादर इन लोग इंटरव्यू करी कैनेडियन एम्बेसी कि कहाँ जाना था बोला आइस देखना बोला
So, any other questions? Any other question?
कोई भी कैसे भक्ति करेगा भरने के बाद में वो भगवान के पास जाएगा या फिर लोग कैसे
He's asking, we are doing some devotional service. So after death, are we going to the kingdom of God or are we coming back into this material world?
If you are purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness at the time of death, you will not take breath again. If you have any material desires to fulfill, Krishna will allow you to come back to fulfill those desires. So the key is you have to cultivate a high-to-key bhakti, free of any material desires. It's not difficult to do that. You know how to do it? All you have to do is beg Krishna.
Krishna says, big money.
My dear Lord Krishna, please give me your pure devotional service. There's no complicated formula. All you have to do is beg for it. Do you know what is the most powerful prayer to beg for it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So if you absorb yourself purely in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then it is guaranteed that you will go back to the spiritual world at the time of death. Thank you. Very nice question. Other questions? Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes the devotees think that they, I don't want to stay with devotees and do devotional service. They want to do it on their own, alone, at home. Whether that is recommended.
Yes, sometimes one thinks that I will practice Krishna consciousness on my own. But Krishna says that the way to develop taste is to serve those Vaishnavas who are completely pure in heart. We've seen people who practice on their own who don't want to serve the Vaishnavas. We have seen again and again, eventually they lose their taste. And they stop practicing Krishna consciousness. So do not think that you can do it on your own. You have to serve the Vaishnavas. Only by that Vaishnava seva can your Krishna bhakti become fully awakened. In fact, it is stated in the Adi Purana. Krishna says to Arjuna, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So you may say, well, I will just do Krishna bhakti on my own, I don't want to serve the Vaishnavas. Krishna will never accept your service. Not in a million lifetimes. If you want your service to be accepted by Krishna, you must serve his devotees. You must become the devotee of the devotees. And then Krishna will accept your service immediately. Next question. See how they are doing service? As soon as they see the cup is getting low, immediately, they, without being asked, they fill the cup up again. This is called Vaishnava Seva. Next question? Or do you want me to interrogate you?
Like you said that if we serve the Vaishnava, then Krishna becomes happy. So how about if someone says, oh, Shivji is the greatest Vaishnava, and Hanumanji is also such a great Vaishnava. And
yeah.
If they say they serve Lord Shiva or Hanumanji.
Yes, yes, yes. So, then you should find out what actually pleases them. It is stated in Rig Veda that all the devatas, they look to the abode of Vishnu as the supreme. That means they are all Vaishnavas actually. So, if you approach them for material desire, they have, as out of duty, they have to facilitate you, but they are not very pleased by that. If you want to really please them and serve them, then you must become devotee of Krishna. Devotee of Vishnu, devotee of Krishna. That is pleasing them. Parvati Devi, she asked Lord Shiva, of all types of worship, what is the best type of worship? What was his answer? Vishnu Aradhanam Devi. Of all the types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the best worship. So, if you actually want to please the gods and goddesses, in the best possible way, become a devotee of Krishna. That's all. Next question. So somebody wants me to ask them a question. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, does your answer to the previous question means that spiritual master, the status of spiritual master is higher than the status of Shiva?
Actually, that is a fact. It is stated in the scriptures that the spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods.
Shastra bata gaya hai ki jo guru hai wo sabhi devi devta ka pratinidhi karta hai.
So, when you serving your spiritual master is better than serving any demigod. By serving your guru, you're giving the best service to Krishna. The best service to Vishnu. The best service to Shiva. The best service to Brahma. The best service to all living entities you are rendering when you serve your spiritual master. That's a fact. Actually, Lord Shiva is very pleased by this Harinam Sankirtan. When the devotees first went to London and got a center at Berry Place, Prabhupada had them build an asana in the temple room for Lord Shiva. You know that? Tamal Krishna Maharaj told us that. Why? Because Lord Shiva was attending the kirtans. He was coming. Prabhupada could see how Lord Shiva was coming to the kirtans. He was very much relishing the Hare Krishna kirtan and coming and enjoying how the devotees were chanting. So, this is the simply by joining the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna movement. You're giving the greatest pleasure to Lord Shiva, the greatest pleasure to Lord Brahma, the greatest pleasure to Sarasvati, etc., etc., etc. Any other question? So far you've been holding me off from my attack by asking you questions. No, I haven't done it yet because people keep coming up with questions. Here's one.
He's asking, when a child takes birth, does he remember, you know, what was his last life or how far advanced in his spiritual life?
Sometimes a child does remember. But generally they do not. There was a small child in Bengal. A little girl, she remembered her previous lifetime. When she was a little girl, she remembered all the details from her previous lifetime. Her husband's name, the family members, the village, everything she remembered. And they actually went there and everything was just as she had described it. There's an article in Bhakti Gaudiya magazine many years ago about this little girl. Jai Dvaita Swami wrote the article. But later on when she grew up, she forgot everything. But generally we do not remember. It happens in rare cases that one can remember.
So the next question I ask, why do we forget?
Sarvasya saham sadhisanavishto mataks matir gyanam. You forget because Krishna provides you with forgetfulness. That's why you forget. Actually, it is the loving kindness of God that you forget. Sometimes people who go through a very stressful situation like the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center. There are many people who are in those twin towers who got out alive. But their minds are tortured by the memory of that experience when the plane crashed into the building and the fire was erupting everywhere and they were getting out, and just as they got out the whole building collapsed, you see. They have horrible memories. There is a term for it. It is called post-trauma stress. Let's see, what is it? Post-trauma stress disorder. Post-trauma stress disorder. It's a psychological disease. So, if you were to remember all that went on in your previous lifetimes, it would be so horrible you couldn't have a moment's peace. Because every time we die, it is a very frightening experience unless we are enlightened spiritual beings. To remember every time that we died, every time we were hurt, every time we got sick, every time we were some bandit came and robbed our house, you know, to remember all these horrible experiences we've been through in millions of lifetimes. When I was a rabbit and some tiger ate me alive, you see. Would you like to remember all of those horrible experiences you had in this material world? That forgetfulness is a kindness of God. So you can sleep peacefully at night. Otherwise, if you remembered all of your past lifetimes, you would have nightmares every night when trying to sleep. Next question. Here we go.
When a person dies, after how long he takes another body or eternal body?
There are two descriptions in Prabhupada's books. It's stated that actually the living entity, he goes to the sinful living entity, who is not going back to Godhead. He is taken by the Yamadutas, the constables of Yamaraj. He is taken to the court of Yamaraj. And he must stand in judgment before Yamaraj for all of his sinful activities. And then Yamaraj will give him suitable punishments. And then, after some time of punishment, he will enter another body to continue getting further punishments and also rewards as well for pious, past pious and impious activity. But in another place, Prabhupada says that one immediately enters the next body. So one may be confused how both things could be true. But actually both things can be true because time is relative. The time in Yamaloka and the time here on this planet operate differently. So what on this plane of consciousness is a mere second. On the dimension of Yama, in Yamaraja's dimension of reality, time operates in a different way. So, one very quickly, from the earth perspective, one immediately enters the next body, but from the perspective of Yama Loka, where you actually go, you will spend some time there, going through hellish punishments. But if you are purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you will not see the Yamadutas at the time of death. You will see the Vishnu Dutas, who will take you back to home, back to Godhead. So all those who take this Krishna consciousness movement, this Krishna consciousness process very seriously, they will not see the Yamadutas at the time of death, they will see the Vishnu Dutas. So you must qualify yourself to see the Vishnu Dutas. Chant your 16 rounds regularly without fail. Strictly follow the four regulated principles. Only take Krishna Prasad, not other things. Any other question? Yes.
If you tell somebody about Lord every day and knowingly he doesn't want to follow, then what will happen to him?
Someone who
knows, he's told every day,
but he doesn't follow. He must have take birth again. Someone who knows the truth but doesn't follow it, he must take birth again. Obviously, he's holding on to material desires. That's why he's not acting in accordance with the scripture. Therefore, he must take birth again in this material world. If knowingly one commits sin, there's a very severe reaction. Punishment will be greater if one knows one is sinning and does it on purpose. That is the greatest sin. So now that you know the truth, you have to be very careful. Previously you were in ignorance. They say ignorance is bliss. But now you're not ignorant. Now you have a great knowledge. With knowledge comes responsibility. Now you must act on the basis of that knowledge. And by so doing, you will achieve the topmost perfection. You're not translating? So anyone else has some questions, or we should bring our session to a close for the evening so we can all take rest and get up early for chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the pre-dawn hours. Does anyone have a question more? Is there some prasadam?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we'll stop here. Prabhupada says ours is not dry philosophy that we simply talk and go. No. We just chant it prasad also. So now we will have now you all can take the prasad of Krishna. Krishna prasadam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadikari ki jai.